I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Well, let's start with the really exciting news.
Andy announced on the Today Show earlier this week, Real Housewives of Dubai is coming in 2022.
Exciting.
Oh my gosh. So this will be the first official international franchise.
Produced by Bravo.
Exactly. Have you watched any of the other international franchises? I've heard they're all incredible.
Oh, they are. Real Housewives of Melbourne. I was obsessed with.
Also, oldie but a goodie, Real Housewives of Miami season 4 is coming to Peacock next month.
Very exciting.
What was your favorite part of Miami back in the day?
Okay, I just really thought, I looked at Joanna Krupa as body inspo. Is that a weird thing to say?
No.
I mean, every time she was on camera, I was just mesmerized by her. I think she's one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen.
I was mesmerized by Mama Elsa.
Oh, right. I mean, no, and that's the thing. There were so many good parts of that show. It's just the first thing that popped in my head.
Well, I think fans are super excited because it was a huge fan favorite back in the day, and now there's a whole new season coming.
Yes.
All that being said, what are we talking about this week?
Real Housewives of Potomac finale, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City,
and Winter House.
And Winter House.
Let's get into it.
All right.
So Potomac finale, season 6 coming to an end. I can't believe it. It went by a little fast.
Really fast.
We do have a 4-part reunion coming, so
yes.
At least there's a lot of that. Nicki Minaj will be part of the last part of the reunion. That'll be really interesting.
Yeah.
This episode starts, we've got a double date. Robin and Juan, Michael and Ashley. The conversation comes back to Michael not really wanting to be around the group this season. But to be fair, neither does Juan.
Right. I couldn't believe that they were calling out Michael for not being on the trip. Neither was Juan.
It seems like there is, I don't want to say a double standard, but a different standard for Michael compared to Juan.
I think it's because people know if Juan shows up, it won't make too much of a difference in terms of the dynamic. But if Michael shows up, there will be conversations.
Do you think that they both agreed to film only if they could film together? Because we know they have that bromance.
Yeah.
You know, so this might have been a last-ditch effort of, all right, we got to get Juan in here. We got to get Michael doing something. So why don't we do a double date?
Right. I really think they're very cute friends.
I do too. And there's there's not a lot of things I find super charming about Michael. But when he gets around Juan, it's like he brings out the best in him.
Right. Well, right. I mean, you literally watch the crush in his eyes.
Right. And we all have a little bit of a crush on Juan.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Well, when it comes to Juan and this whole conversation about having a baby, the responsibilities of an infant, it seems like a little bit of what Robin's trying to say is getting lost in translation. And Juan is receiving it as criticism for what he did back in the day in terms of infidelity, not really being there for Robin. But do you also feel as though this comes up a lot and maybe Juan is just tired of talking about it on camera?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it first was really discussed last season in therapy with Robin and Juan. It's got to be extra hurtful when you bring up that he wasn't present as a dad because, you know, your kids are going to watch that. And as it stands now, they probably don't remember that part. So it's also just one of those things like, if you're moving forward, do you have to keep rehashing the past?
I think his point is, doesn't Robin trust at this point that he has changed? And actions do speak louder than words. So I think what Robin's trying to say is, when we have this baby, if that's really what you want, you better be changing diapers. You better be present. You better be better than you were before.
Yeah.
But I think Juan is reading it as, oh my God, Robin, you're bringing this up again. Get this mic off me. I don't want to go back to the past. We keep going back to the past. But Robin's just like, let's just have a quick touch base before we pop out another baby.
Right.
Make me out to be a dickhead, Rob.
No, I'm not.
You are.
What the hell? Travis, you want to keep bringing that up? To take this motherfucking mic off.
Big Rob, you're not going to keep bringing that up.
I'm done. I'm done. Here.
Oh, are you serious? It's not that serious.
Yes, it is that serious.
It's not that serious.
Here you go.
Are you serious right now?
Yeah, you're not going to keep doing that.
I'll keep doing what?
Do you think they'll actually have another baby?
It seems like they're both interested in it. I don't know what that journey will look like for them.
Yeah, it just seems like they got engaged. Wedding hasn't really been planned. Some other stuff got in the way. Embellished is taking off. They just got a new house. Having a baby's a lot.
Yeah.
If they do, I hope it's a little girl.
For sure. Well, I mean, so does Juan.
Juanita. Okay. Shout out to producer Nora for trying her damnedest to get information out of Giselle about this man she was dating.
Can you tell us a little bit about this man?
No, sure can't.
Is he a celebrity?
He's none of your business, Nora. He's none of your business.
Has he been to the West Wing?
That's none of your business. You want to ask me another question? Because that's going to be none of your business, too.
Right. Who do we think it was?
34-year-old singer, potentially well-known.
Did they say that?
I think Giselle hinted that it was someone we would know, which was probably why she didn't bring it up.
I thought it was like some sort of like TV correspondent.
I thought they said like musician.
Did they?
I don't know.
No, you're probably right. 34, though.
Harry Styles.
Right. I think he's good with Olivia.
Oh, that's true. I keep forgetting who's with who these days. Can't keep up. I mean, it just goes to show what we've talked about earlier this season with Giselle always having a question for other people and their relationship and their man and what they're up to and all of that. But the second it comes down to her business, she doesn't want to share it.
It's not fair.
It's not fair.
It really is taking a toll on me and how much I love Giselle because I don't think it's fair.
Yeah.
You can't put everyone else's relationship business on blast 24/7 and you don't give us anything.
I guess at the reunion, what she will give us is more detail on what happened with Jamal.
But why did it take until the reunion? That's right. Not okay.
And that was Karen's point from the beginning of the season of being like, if this went wrong for you, share it. Be open about it. Then we can all relate to you. We can comfort you. And we can all move forward from it.
I mean, think about someone like Ashley. Her relationship drama has played out for cameras every single season. You know?
Yeah.
This is maybe the first season where she and Michael aren't really like at the forefront in terms of their relationship.
That's true.
She gives it all.
Yeah, and that's what we want from a housewife.
Yes.
And that is what I have friends, my cousin, who I saw last weekend in Denver, huge Housewives fan. And she was like, I would be the best housewife. She was like, I would just be honest. I would be open. I would share everything. I wouldn't be afraid because the second you try to hide things, protect things, whatever, somebody brings the receipts, somebody invites someone to a dinner party. The more you try to hide, the more you risk being exposed. Auntie Macy showed up in this episode.
Okay, wait. Because thinking of Macy Gray reminds me of Raven because they had that recording session.
Which I did forget about until that flashback.
Isn't it odd Raven didn't come?
Yeah, well, Karen said she had a kidney stone potentially or something.
Not in this episode, did
she? Yeah, she did. She mentioned it briefly that Raven was sick and that it was possibly a kidney stone.
Oh, my God. Never mind.
Which also kidney stones. I mean, Joe Gorga last season had a little kidney situation.
It's one of my like greatest medical fears that it's completely unfounded, except that it just seems awful.
Well, and it's statistically speaking, it's like 1 in 4 adults. So I'm just like hydrating as much as possible. You drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
I drink a lot of water. Stick with that.
I mean, I get migraines, so hopefully God will spare me from something else.
You're like, isn't that enough?
Isn't that enough?
So what did you think overall of the renewed vow nuptial ceremony?
It was cute.
Yeah.
I don't really care about a vow renewal. It's funny because, like, weddings make me very emotional. Like, every time I go to a wedding, I will cry. I find it so romantic and so loving. And, I mean, look, I'm very happy for Ray and Karen that they're renewing. But at the same time, it makes me nervous, obviously. There is the vow renewal curse that I don't think just afflicts Bravo couples, but, like, I think about Shaquille O'Neal and his wife. They used to renew their vows every year, and they divorced. Like, I don't know. It always comes off as sort of a last-ditch effort.
Yeah, that's a little bit of the vibe I got from this one. I'm still very supportive of Karen and Ray and happy for them. The staircase was a lot. The design of the venue was a lot.
Yeah.
And it seemed a little over the top in the way that we want from Karen Huger, but those awkward pauses of just up and down the stairs and the dress and all of that.
And I mean, you could feel everyone collectively holding their breath as Karen walked down in her dress because it's like, oh God, she's about to fall.
Totally.
And we're going to have to watch it.
It's just so on brand for Karen, too, to have an event that is put together, but perhaps not as well put together as some other events.
Yes.
She always pulls it off. But it's just got a little bit of that Karen Huger touch where you're like, huh, questionable. By the end of this episode, we see this whole conversation between Michael and Chris and Candace. I have to say, I think I'm with Candace on this one.
That you think it's white privilege?
I think Michael, if he were anyone else, his defense of Ashley would be admirable. But given what he has put her through on this show, like we were just talking about, it seems as though he does want everyone to not bow down to him, but respect him when maybe it hasn't been as earned as he thinks.
I mean, do you think it has anything to do with the fact that Michael has put his life on the show for longer than Candace and Chris, and therefore is a... Because, I mean, we see this with Housewives where it's like, I'm an OG, you aren't, you know.
That's a good point.
That they expect a certain amount of reverence. I don't know.
Well, like Michael's saying, I put in my time.
Yeah.
You haven't as much yet, Chris. Either way, they worked through it, thanks to Juan. A little bit of mediation from Giselle as well.
Yeah, like it was great between them in terms of like they got through it.
Yeah.
But then Candace just had to keep going.
As she usually does.
I just feel like she ruined so many nights for Chris.
Yeah. Well, and for herself.
Well, no, that's true.
You know? But I do think she had a point, and say what you will about Candace, but she delivers in terms of...
being a real housewife.
Being a real housewife.
Yeah.
Here is my problem. That motherfucker thinks that everybody's gonna bow down to him, and my ass is not. That motherfucker didn't want to have a dialogue.
I get that.
Okay, I'm done talking to you.
You gotta see the other side.
You need to shut the up talking to me, crazy.
It's so funny because, you know, we went to Dave Quinn's book launch party and Candace was there. And I swear to God, I got nervous because I was just like, I have watched her on the show so much and events always go left, you know?
Right.
And I was like, is something going to happen?
It's a crowded room. There's a lot of people in there she might not get along with. You never know.
And I wonder if that's got to be weird, too. Like, does she feel people get nervous when she shows up to things?
I don't know, because she's so pretty and so cute and little and fashionable that you don't expect that she might unleash, but she might unleash.
Might unleash.
Well, reunion coming up next week. I am so amused by the fact that Wendy printed out those receipts on a full poster board. Like, you want to talk about a teacher? She came with a presentation.
I mean, I wonder how much it cost to make those.
I don't know. It can't be that much. Remember, we used to get poster board and stuff in school when we were younger.
No, but like, okay, when you print out big checks, that's like $100 or something just to print that. So,
well, Wendy's got, you know, the candle money now,
right.
So it's fine.
I am looking forward to Candace being called out in terms of the part that she plays in things escalating.
Yeah.
I'm excited to get to the bottom of the Jamal stuff with Giselle.
Well, I think going back to the Candace of it all for the reunion. It is interesting that this accountability feels a little overdue, but better late than never.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see who Nikki puts her attention on, because right. I've heard that there's a bit of Candace, a bit of Giselle. She is a super fan.
Yeah.
And so she is going to come with her own opinions.
Right.
More so than Andy would, playing kind of neutral host.
Yes.
So that's going to be really interesting to see.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Salt Lake?
Yeah.
I want to talk about Mary and her connection about what Lisa said and why it triggered her, given what happened with her mom.
Lisa, when you question me, it just triggers.
Does that feel at all like a reach to you?
It feels like the longest reach. Am I a bad person to say that?
No, I don't think we're being insensitive to her feelings, because that can 100% be true. We can validate that Mary has those issues
right.
with her mom. But to tie it back to a small comment that Lisa made just about Googling a random, now debunked fact that she presented, I don't know, it doesn't feel right. like it's connected.
Right. Just say you were having a bad day.
Yeah.
You know, right. I don't know.
Right. I appreciate the explanation.
Yeah. I sort of want to dive into the end.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, because I mean, I really do feel like there's a connection between what happened at the end and that little tiff, well, it wasn't so little, between Lisa and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa has already been accused this season of sort of manipulating things and sort of being a producer. Like Whitney called her out at the restaurant for having that woman come by and be like,
I can't believe what she did to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then at this party, she has her, I don't know who the woman is in connection to Lisa. I didn't look at the lower third long enough, I guess. But the woman who was at the Fresh Wolf photo shoot mm-hmm. came to the event and said in front of Meredith, how are you doing after that thing with Jen happened? She was so out of line, and I think you handled it great. And it was right. just like, oh my God, that is the most, you know, like,
yeah.
to me, it felt like the most planted thing ever.
Well, and then when Cameron comes over and shares yes. all of this stuff about
and
Mary.
All I have to say is, would that have happened had Mary not gone off on Lisa?
Did you recover from everything the other night with Jen? Are you feeling okay about how that went?
What I have to say is, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Right.
So now I'm starting to think Lisa is orchestrating things behind the scenes, which I don't necessarily have a problem with, but I wish she would be more Kenya about it
yes.
and just be open and upfront. Bring the cookie lady in.
Yes.
Invite them over yes. and be like, I did this.
And not feign, you know, innocence when someone calls you out on it.
Right. Exactly.
So the other part then of this is Meredith in on it? Because she's Lisa's best friend. So if Lisa said, you know, you should start talking to Cameron and ask him some things.
I could see that.
I don't know.
Meredith's
a
good friend.
Meredith is a good friend.
I could see that being the case.
But let's forget that for a moment.
Okay.
And just talk about what Cameron said.
Well, so Cameron comes over and starts sharing his experience with Mary's church. Interestingly enough, I just started watching The Way Down. So The Way Down is about this woman who essentially becomes this, you know, preacher type, launches this crazy campaign about how slimming down, losing weight is essentially God's will.
And Christ-like.
It becomes this whole extreme culty-like situation. So watching this story unfold on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, watching The Way Down, it's like a lot of cult stuff going on in my mind. So Cameron comes over and starts explaining to Meredith, not quite details, because I think he still wants to be conservative about what he shares on right. camera. But he essentially says things are not what they seem. The church is not what it seems to be. Mary is not who she seems to be. There is darkness there. And Meredith definitely gets a weird vibe and even expresses that to Lisa, of like, something is really much bigger is going on here than we're aware of.
Yeah.
You have to watch The Way Down, though. It's
okay,
so
I'm
good.
Gonna. Okay. As much as Meredith is a good friend to Lisa, though, I am curious if, let's say, she's going along with Lisa's plan to take Mary down, which it's just an opinion. We could be totally wrong. But why would Meredith do that to Mary? They're friends.
I don't know if Meredith will follow through with what Lisa is setting her up for.
Yeah.
I have a feeling from the preview clips that we've seen that Meredith is going to play devil's advocate the more that Lisa tries to bring out this cult stuff, which is just interesting because I think we're seeing loyalties shift. This is the point of the season, especially knowing what's coming next week.
Yeah.
We're going to start seeing a lot of shifts in the dynamics in relationships.
Right.
Okay. Before we wrap on Salt Lake City, I just have to say every single episode, I find a new reason to love Heather. And her story about being a companion to a little person just really took me over the edge this week. Like, I would do anything for Heather Gay.
Meredith and her daughter's reaction was the most genuine. Because it's not funny. You know, it's not like, yeah, of course a little person would need a travel companion.
It's something
I
never even thought of.
It makes sense when Whitney explains it.
Yeah.
But it's just that it came out of her mouth like it was the most normal thing. And it's like, what?
But I did go as a travel companion to Cancun with a little person.
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
Like, travel is really difficult if you're a little person. I had to, like, assist them. Okay. It's hard to, like, check in at the hotel. The waves, I mean, you need a companion. So I was in as a travel companion.
Also, side note, don't you think Meredith's daughter looks like Florence Pugh if she got a Kardashian makeover?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean that in a really complimentary way.
I also thought at one point she reminded me of Delilah Bell.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly. Winter House?
Yes. I would like to start with the fact that Lindsay, you know, is into Austin. And by the way, I totally get where she's coming from. She's like, Austin, I asked you what your New Year's Eve goal was or New Year's resolution was. And you said to date me this year. And then to hear Austin's side of it, where he was like, I was at a 3-day fish show. What do you think I was doing at the fish show? I was out of my mind.
What did I say New Year's Eve?
We talked 15 times on FaceTime. I said, what are your goals, Austin? 2021, what are your goals? And you go, I'm going to date you this year, Lindsay.
Okay.
I was like, put shit in my head. You know what I mean?
Every New Year's, I'm at Madison Square Garden at a 4-day fish show. What am I doing at a fish show, Lindsay? My head is in outer space. And she knows it. Like, come on.
It's like both are totally fair. It's just very funny.
Also, of course, Austin goes to the 3-day Madison Square Garden fish show.
Of course.
I mean, everyone out there who knows people who go to that show, nobody is surprised by
that. Right. But, you know, I do think just this whole thing is very interesting to me. The fact that Lindsay really thought this was her shot, you know, like maybe the stars have aligned, that there's always something between them and now they're both single, but that Austin isn't upset, she would say she's in love with him, because like, if she was a real friend, she would never do that to me, which I'm like, why? Like, what?
I know.
You're going after Sierra, so clearly you're okay, you know?
Right.
Clearly he's not ready for a relationship, and that's fine. I just feel bad for Lindsay in this situation.
I do too. And a lot of Austin's behavior in this episode is exactly why Madison left him. Like, he has trouble stepping up and being more of a man who owns what he says and does and just behaves a little bit more responsibly when it comes to women and the way he treats them and the way he moves through his relationships.
Yeah, you know, because it really resonated with me, and I'm sure a lot of women out there, like what Lindsay is saying is He wants me, but he wants to put me on a back burner until he's ready for me.
Yeah.
Just don't pick me up and tell me that you're going to date me again.
And Austin keeps going after these, like, Madison is a mom. Right. She is in a place in her life where you need to be ready to, like, get serious and take that on. Lindsay is of an age and has made it very apparent to everyone in the world. She's ready to get married. Don't start something that you're not ready to finish.
Exactly. So let's talk about Lindsay present day.
Right.
Did you see her Halloween costume?
Yes.
For those who missed it, Lindsay and Carl went as Dirty Dancing, a couple's costume, mind you. Also, at the book launch party that we attended, on the red carpet, Bryce Sander asked them, oh, you two seem like smitten. Like, what's going on here? Is anything going on here? And they both gave pretty dodgy answers.
Hmm.
So as much as I am all in on Lindsay, super invested in her always, I'm not so invested in this Austin story because I'm already thinking ahead of what could potentially be going on right now.
Didn't we try that already, though?
We sure did.
And it didn't work out.
No.
I don't know. Maybe Carl's grown more.
Carl's 6.0 at this point.
And also, I don't want to put it all on the guys. Lindsay is a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, even though she is, like, serious in the way that she wants to settle down, she still very much acts like a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Not a wife.
Right.
Is that terrible?
Eh.
Okay.
I know what you mean.
There's a lot of, what is this?
Chaos.
Yeah, just a lot
she has chaotic energy.
Yeah, and not only that, but, like, she's not, there's, like, an emotional maturity that isn't there with relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very up and down. It's always dramatic. It's always fighting.
But maybe she can find that with Carl because of the foundation that they have as friends first, who genuinely care for and want the best for each other. Maybe there's something there.
Right.
Shout out to the camera people in this episode, because we had this whole action sequence while everyone was skiing and snowboarding, and you could see the cameraman on a snowboard. I follow this subreddit called Praise the Cameraman, and it always just shows these incredible videos where there's, like, someone going down a mountain doing something insane and the cameraman's right by their side. I was like, let's go, production. Get on those skis. Get on those snowboards.
I kind of want to see the opposite now.
What, like someone falling?
No, just like cameraman who, like, what, like, was it your off day or something? You know, like, just have you, I guess I'm thinking about it because I was watching the New York One coverage of the Halloween parade.
Oh.
It is just this cameraman. He just, like, it was not, they would be like, you'd hear someone say, oh, there's a tightrope walker. And the camera would pan after it was already done. And it was just like, what is happening? You know, like.
Right.
So I kind of want to see the opposite.
There's definitely a subreddit for that.
Yeah.
Too. Like, cameraman fails.
Yes.
I'm sure. I completely forgot how young Amanda is.
How young is she?
She's about to turn 30, Kyle said.
Oh, yeah.
At that point. I mean,
right.
She must be 30 now. I don't know when her birthday is. But I just forget that they have such a big difference because they've been together for so long. And it just totally slipped my mind.
What did you think of that double date?
I don't know if I would rate it an 11 and 12 as
right.
Austin and Sierra did. I'm glad they were having a good time. But the conversation was a little awkward between the different couples. It didn't feel as maybe natural as Kyle and Amanda were hoping that it would. But they had a good time, so.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Did you feel bad for Paige in this episode?
I did because she doesn't really go after people unless she really has a thing, is invested a little bit. You know, she doesn't just hook up with anybody. And Andrea has been leading her on in the last couple of days, and I think she was hoping it would go to the next level. And it's just taking longer than she wanted. And it, like, the whole him doing squats with her on the shoulder, like, no.
I also just think dating someone with a hot bod comes with a really heavy price tag.
Mm, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that price tag is them really caring way too much about themselves.
Right.
All the time.
Yeah. Which, you know, if we want to look at Andrea the way he looks, he has to do that.
Right.
And I like to look. But I feel bad that Paige wants more And I don't think she's going to get it.
Right.
We do see that they're going to go on a date next week. But there's a lot of rumors in the house that he's not as into it as she is. That he's talking to other girls. We learned that in this episode. Which is not surprising. But it's just about managing everybody's expectations.
Yes.
And I think Paige and Andrea are on different pages. Gabby.
Mm.
She has a lot to say about people that she claims are her friends.
Mm.
And I don't think she's wrong if these things have really happened to her. If Andrea is a player, which we kind of suspected from the beginning. She talks about Julia, though, being responsible for her breakup.
Has she ruined past romantic relationships for you?
Man,
I was getting such White Lotus vibes from them.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Just two friends and one constantly feeling like the other always steals what she has.
Yep. Olivia, right? Was that the character's name? I don't know. I don't get that vibe from Julia, but obviously Gabby knows her way better than we do. We've known her for 2 weeks.
I also think it's maybe not Julia's fault that men find her... Like, obviously, I think, I don't know, it's hard. I think that Luke and possibly, you know, people in Gabby's past are just naturally attracted to someone like Julia and her energy and whatever.
Yeah.
But is there more Julia could do to sort of separate herself from men that her friends like? Maybe.
Maybe. And I think where my hesitation is coming from is that we're hearing all of who Julia is, for the most part, from Gabby directly, saying, well, Julia always wants to be right. It just, I want to hear more from Julia. And maybe we'll get a little bit more of her background next week and hear more of her perspective. And we need a few more confessional moments from Julia for me, I think, to get the full picture. But right now it's looking like, I don't know if I trust where Gabby is coming from in all of this. Yeah. Rose and Thorn? Okay, what was your rose?
It was just this really ditzy moment from James on Vanderpump Rules. Eric just nodded like, of course it was. And it was him saying, I don't know how old Brock was when he had kids, but he was probably younger than he is now.
I don't know how young Brock was either when he had the kids, too, but he probably was younger than he is now.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, James, probably.
That's how time works.
What was yours?
My rose is from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion, part 4, which we are doing a recap on that episode, special bonus episode coming out tomorrow. But I'm going to give it to Sutton. And it's when she caught Erica in that conversation about liar, not liar. And it's when Sutton got her, when she was like, you apologized and said you were sorry. And then later on said it was a lie. So that is a lie. You have lied before.
I was looking at the facts.
What facts?
I was reading
really
the LA 20,
Times. 20 million did not go into my account. So you shouldn't jump to conclusions. Erica's a liar. Erica's inconsistent. Erica's a...
Well,
I'm not.
Listen, you know what you did in Del Mar?
What?
You pretended to be my friend.
It's just been rough, honey. And it's something that I can't even predict.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Oh, my God. They're talking.
I'll get through it, but I had to lash out, and I apologize.
And you pretended to be mine.
No, actually, I thought that you were being sincere. And you know what that is? Lying.
And it was just sort of like, gotcha.
Yeah.
We gotcha. Yeah. And not that Sutton was trying to make any further point than not telling the whole truth and lying is potentially the same thing. So there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, what was your thorn?
Oh, it was from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and it was learning that John, Lisa's husband, was adopted and then returned as a baby.
Oh, I know.
Like, what?
It's horrible.
Horrible.
I love that his son, both his sons through Fresh Wolf, have made that their cause.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's my second rose.
What was your thorn?
Well, my thorn is not that I'm not happy to see Captain Lee back, but Captain Sean, who I kind of liked, is now leaving the show.
I know. He was so quirky. Yeah. I was really hoping we would get more of him. Just because also I feel like there's natural drama built in because he is so particular.
Yeah.
So So I was kind of excited to see what it would look like to have him at the helm.
Maybe one day we'll have him back.
Yeah.
In some capacity.
Right.
And we'll be back with an all-new episode next week. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.